Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now. And so we praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers, for the provision, and most of all for you, the listener. We thank those of you who've been with us for many years. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to talk about The Blood Cries Out, and this is another message in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the impact that that will have on the body of Christ, not only in America and the nation of America, but all over the world. We're seeing and hearing about reports of people here who love Charlie and want to carry on his legacy, carry on his destiny. And so the impact of his death and the blood that cries out, we have a lot of biblical examples to tell us what that impact will be. So we're going to take up this message here in just a minute. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're starting in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Before we get into the message today, I want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. And we are having prayer and fasting days every other Saturday to pray for the ministry, pray for provision. And for those of you who have not listened to this message before, we're praying for provision to build a primary school next to the children's home. We have 2 acres of land out there, and so we want to build a primary school, grades 1 through 8, for the children of Makunda, about 200 to 300 students. And so many of the children there drop out of school in grade 6 or grade 8, somewhere along in there. And so we want to encourage them to stay in school, give them a good education, and at the same time teach them biblical principles, teach them about Jesus, the Bible stories, and so they're going to leave that school with a great education and also foundation in Christian doctrine. So if you can help us, pray about your part, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can talk about details, help you get involved, and we pray that the Lord will put on your heart to help us with this great project he's given us here in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about The Blood Cries Out. And last week we talked about the blood of the martyrs, and we looked at the story of Stephen, the first evangelist who was martyred, the deacon Stephen, one of the first 7 of the deacons appointed in the New Testament church, and how the blood cries out. Stephen was stoned to death as he was preaching the gospel to the freedmen, the association or the synagogue of the freedmen, and he was stoned to death. And so his blood cries out, and it led to the anointing or the calling of Saul, who was there at the time Stephen was stoned. The man that we came to know, Apostle Paul, who was called Saul at that time, was in hearty agreement with that murder. And so when Stephen was stoned and killed there, then the mantle or the anointing that was on Stephen was then transferred to Saul. It wasn't immediately transferred to him, but later, as Saul was carrying out his mission to persecute Christians, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus as a bright light. And Jesus asked Saul a question: why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul knew he had come in an encounter face to face with God, with Jesus Christ. He knew he had come face to face, and he had to make an account for what he was doing. And so you know the rest of the story. Saul was blinded, spent 3 days questioning, 3 days praying, 3 days wondering what was going to happen with him next. And Jesus said, I'm showing him what he must suffer for my sake. I'm revealing to him his destiny. And beloved, sometimes the Lord will appear to us or speak to us through his word or speak to us through a dream or a vision, and he will reveal his destiny to us, to you. And so when you seek the Lord with all your heart and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have for me? What is my destiny? What is my calling? Maybe you're frustrated in what you're doing for the Lord now. Maybe you know there's more. Some of you, you've never even come into the kingdom yet. You've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I say to you today, pray about your part in advancing the kingdom forward. Find out what your destiny and your calling is. Pray about it, and the Lord will reveal himself to you, and he will speak to you, and he will show you, and other people will confirm it. He will show you what your calling is and what your destiny is for the kingdom of God. Well, if we look in Genesis 4:7, this is the first incidence of shed blood that is recorded in the Bible, Genesis 4:7. And it says, this is the Lord speaking to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies or crouches at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now in verse 8, Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And so when we kill, or when somebody kills or sheds the innocent blood of any person, then that blood has a voice. That blood cries out from the land. And so there's many things that you could teach from this passage of scripture. Number one is that Cain had anger in his heart, so much so that the anger came and manifested in murdering his brother. There was a jealousy there over the offerings. The Lord had accepted or respected Abel's offering, but he did not respect Cain's offering. Cain became jealous of Abel, and so Cain rose up in anger and he killed his brother. Well, the Lord speaks to all of us and says, when you have anger in your heart, Jesus spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount, when you have anger or thoughts of anger in your heart, or even speak about your brother saying, Raca, or fool, you idiot. When you say things like that, when you think things like that, it's like having murder in your heart. Jesus took it to a higher level, a higher standard. He said, clean out your heart. Don't even have murderous thoughts or murderous ideas in your heart. Get it cleaned out so that you can love your brother and you can treat your brother with respect. Even pray for your enemies. Treat your enemies kindly. And so the Lord brings Cain into account after he had killed his brother. The Lord said, where is Abel your brother? And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And we've all heard that saying many times before. Well, are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. One of the reasons I'm here in Kenya, not only to preach the gospel, but we have a children's home here with about 25 children, varies in number from 22 to up to 30 sometimes. We've had over 30 at times. And so we are our brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. And so you can start to pray for your brother, not necessarily your biological brother, but your spiritual brother or people that you see that are poor. We're asking the Lord to bring provision into our hand to build a school for the children there in Makunda. We are our brother's keeper. I care about those people. I care about those young people in Kenya, in Makunda, who drop out of school when they're grade 8 because they have no motivation to go on. And most of the time, many of them don't have money to go on. And many of them are from Muslim families and people of other religions. And so we care about our brother's keeper. We're here to share the love of Jesus with the people that God has put in our care, God has put in our place and across our path. We are here to care for them, and God will put people in your path and put people in your care for you to take care of, whether they're sickly or whether they're people that are lost and he wants you to preach to them. You are your brother's keeper. As the body of Christ all over the earth, we are our brother's keeper. And so it motivates us to do things for them that ordinarily we wouldn't do. People in the natural are very selfish with their money. They're very selfish with their time. People in the natural are very selfish with their interests. They just want to take care of themselves. But when you get the love of Christ in you, you start to look out and take care, want to take care of people who are not in your normal circle of friends or not in your normal pathway. I can think back to the time when the Lord opened up the door for me to preach in a prison, and it's very difficult to get people to go into the prison. It's kind of a unique set of people that want to go in there to preach to inmates, many of them in there for 10 or 20 or 30 years. And so they really appreciate people to come in and visit them, preach to them. Many of them don't get family visits because their families reject them. And so it's an important place to preach. And Jesus said, when you've done this to the least of these of mine, you've done it also unto me. And one of those categories of people was people in the prisons. And so when you visited people in the prisons, you've also visited Jesus. And so we're our brother's keeper. God has wired us that way, just as Jesus loved the downtrodden and the poor and the brokenhearted. We too then learn to love the broken and the poor. And so we are our brother's keeper. And so the Lord goes on to say then to Cain that the blood of your brother cries out from the land. Well, the blood has a voice. The blood has a voice. And over in Hebrews 12:24, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says, you have come to Jesus. He's talking about coming to the New Testament church. Hebrews 12:24, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And so Jesus speaks a better thing to us than the blood of Abel. Jesus speaks a blood of salvation. Jesus' blood speaks of deliverance. Jesus' blood speaks of healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. And so Jesus' blood speaks to us of wholeness, of restoration. Jesus' blood speaks to us of deliverance from bondage of all kinds, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography, sexual addiction, all of these things that put men and women in chains and bind them up where they can't sometimes even function, want to kill themselves. The blood of Jesus speaks better to us than the blood of Abel, because the blood of Abel was speaking primarily about vengeance. The blood wanted to cry out for vengeance to the people in the Old Testament days. That was primarily the way people reacted to spilt blood, was through vengeance. And so in verse 25 in Hebrews chapter 12, goes on to say, see to you that you do not refuse him who speaks, for they did not escape who refused him who speaks on earth, speaking about Jesus. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. And so the Lord is speaking to us from heaven today, and he also speaks to us through his word, the Holy Bible, and he speaks to us through dreams and visions, speaks to us through the words of the prophets, but the blood of Jesus speaks much better to us than the blood of Abel. Well, so let's go back then to Genesis and the words that the Lord spoke to Cain here in the parting words he's speaking. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And so the Lord pronounced judgment, pronounced a sentence on Cain. It was not a good thing. He said, you're going to be cursed from the earth. And so that is, in a way, along with the fall of Adam, that is the prescription for all of us, really, is that we're cursed from the earth. We're born into a cursed world. We're born into a cursed situation. It was cursed by not only the blood of Abel, but the fall of Adam and Eve. And so we have only one way out of this difficult situation, only one way to be reconciled back to God, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, which speaks to us better than the blood of Abel. Well, let's go on over to Genesis chapter 9, and this is after the flood of Noah, and the land is drying out, and Noah has sent out a dove, and the dove brings back an olive branch to show that there's life again on the earth. And so in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord is speaking about a new covenant with Noah. And he says, surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning or a payment. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. And so there's a payment that has to be made when there is blood shed, innocent blood shed. There is a payment that has to be made. It has to come from the person who sheds the innocent blood. And so in verse 6, it says, and as for you, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. And so there is a payment that has to be made. It's a one-for-one payment. It's where the idea of capital punishment comes from. If somebody murders a man and it's proven by the testimony of two or three witnesses or a testimony of circumstantial evidence, in this case, in many cases, the DNA evidence speaks. The DNA evidence has a voice. The DNA speaks. This man's blood was here at the murder scene. This man's blood was left on the knife or something such as that. And so the blood cries out. There has to be vengeance when a person's life is taken. And back to verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, the Lord says to Noah, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. And so we're living under the covenant of Noah, seed time and harvest. The Lord said, I'm never again going to send a flood to destroy the inhabitants of the earth, to destroy all the living things of the earth. The next judgment that comes, a universal judgment such as that, will be a judgment of fire, and it will be coming at the end of the age, and those who know Jesus Christ will escape that judgment. Those who have confessed Jesus Christ, received the remission of sins, and been reconciled back to God, those that know him will not suffer anything in that final judgment. If you've never accepted Jesus, you need to do that today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to live another day. I don't either. But I have accepted Jesus, and so I'm not concerned about whether I'm going to live another day. If you don't know Jesus, confess his name. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And that was the words of Jesus Christ. He's saying, you must confess. You must be born again, so that the blood that I shed for you on the cross can be applied to your life, can be the ransom, the payment, the atonement for your sin. And so as Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 tells us, the payment has to be made when man's blood is shed. You think about abortion, because this directly applies to the abortion situation in the United States of America, not just in the U.S., but other countries around the world. But in the U.S., we have aborted over 60 million babies since 1973. Over 60 million babies, their blood has been shed. They've been burned in incinerators. They've been buried in the landfills. Their blood cries out from the land. Their blood has a voice, and it cries out from the land. And you can imagine the voice of these 60 million babies crying out to the Lord, and the Lord hears them from heaven, and the sound of those 60 million babies, along with the millions and hundreds of millions aborted in other countries, it brings a stench into the nostrils of the Lord. It brings a cry into his ears that he cannot tolerate, that he cannot promote, that he cannot condone. And so there has to be a judgment that comes upon these nations that promote abortion. And I believe there's a judgment on the United States of America right now. You see all these mass killings. Used to shock people in America, all these mass killings, but we see it. It's very routine, happens every single day, not just mass killings, but people in the inner cities primarily and in other places in America get killed in random attacks, in all kinds of crazy attacks, crazy ways. And so the payment is coming. The payment is going back for the blood of the innocents. The payment is going back to the Lord, because there has to be a payment made by man's blood. The hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. And so there has to be a payment made to settle that account. Well, capital punishment, that's exactly what it is. From the old days in the United States, we've had capital punishment. In the New Testament, that Jesus says, vengeance is mine, I am the Lord, and that's very true. Jesus said, vengeance is mine. I believe that it's possible we can forgive, but I also say that it is biblically okay to institute some type of capital punishment for deterrence sake, to institute for the people who take innocent blood, to institute some type of punishment that is equivalent to the crime or equivalent to the blood that they have shed. Well, Numbers 35:30, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel through Moses, and he said in Numbers 35:30, whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient against a person for the death penalty. And so you have to have very substantial evidence to put a person to death. And we're seeing in the Charlie Kirk situation, they are going to try to go for the death penalty for the murderer of Charlie Kirk. But it requires a higher standard of proof, a higher standard of testimony. And so we'll see if they're able to gather enough evidence against this young man who killed Charlie Kirk and to institute the death penalty against him. Well, Numbers 35, verse 33, so you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement, no payment can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. And again, that's another argument for capital punishment. Those that take innocent blood, those that shed innocent blood, the payment has to come from them. And we look back at the Civil War, one example, I believe, where the Lord was righting the wrongs and adjusting the scales of justice. 600,000 men were killed in the Civil War, and I believe it was primarily to pay for the shed blood of the innocents, primarily the slaves who were brought to America, that were hung, that were castrated, that were scourged, that were beaten. Lord said, enough is enough, and there has to be a payment made to equal the scales for the shed blood of the innocents. And so 600,000 men died in the Civil War, and the blood then was paid. Well, this is a deep subject, but understand this, that when innocent's blood are shed, there has to be a payment made. And that's why abortion is such a scourge on the land. That's why murder is such a scourge on the land. And we pray that peace will come to America. We pray that people will repent of abortion, of murder, of all the acts of violence that create a situation where the blood of innocence is poured out on the land and cries out into the hearing of the Lord, cries out in such a way that the Lord has to right the scales and bring justice to the land. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all the provision we've had over the many years, and we invite you to help support this ministry, not only to bring the messages here each and every week. We enjoy bringing those, and it's not just into the region around Norton, but also on the internet. All of these messages are posted on our website, gatheredtheoutcast.com. If you want to hear past messages, go to gatheredtheoutcast.com, and we have many messages posted there from the last probably 5 years. There's hundreds of them, and so you can see and hear many different messages on different subjects: spiritual warfare, gifts of the Holy Spirit, what is salvation, what is baptism. All of these things are spoken there in the archive messages. So go to that, gatheredtheoutcast.com. We invite you to partner with this ministry. Sit down today, write out a check, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can use your debit or credit card at paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. That's paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.